Are you a passionate business owner or entrepreneur ready to take your message to the world? Do you dream of launching your own podcast but don't know where to start? Introducing my 8-week Start Your Podcast program designed to guide you every step of the way in creating and launching your podcast. In this program, you'll learn the essential skills needed to craft engaging content, record high quality episodes, and market your podcast effectively to reach your target audience. I will work closely with you, providing personalized guidance and feedback to ensure your podcast stands out in a crowded digital space. But hurry, spots are limited and applications for our upcoming cohorts are closing soon. Don't miss this opportunity to turn your podcast dreams into a reality and launch your podcast this summer. Visit our website donnaead.com/apply and apply now to secure your spot in our next cohort. Together, let's make your podcasting vision a success. You're listening to the Wedding Procast UK, the place to be if you are a UK wedding professional looking to grow and streamline your business. I'm your host, Donna Ead, 10-year wedding photography veteran and CEO at the Society of Professional Wedding Vendors. If you want to grow and streamline your business, this is the podcast for you. Make sure you hit subscribe where you listen or join our email list at www.spwv.co.uk. You'll find the sign up form at the bottom of every episode, and by doing so, you won't miss a thing. So let's jump into today's show. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I hope you are having a fantastic start to your September. Those of you that have children, I am sure you are jumping with joy at the fact that schools are going back. In my county, they actually go back tomorrow, which is a Friday, which seems a little strange to me and a little pointless, but there it is. So today we are going to be talking about the topic of how to start a wedding business. Now, I actually did this on a live on Facebook a couple of days ago, but unfortunately I didn't have my mic plugged in, so it actually came off quite quiet. So I thought, as I need to re-record it, why don't I do it for the podcast as well? So if you are tuning in, thank you so much. Don't forget to hit subscribe where you listen. If you are on YouTube, then please hit the subscribe button there as well. So today we are going to look at how you start a wedding business, why the wedding industry is such a good one to work in, and the pros and cons of it. So where do we start? First, preparation. Preparation is key to success. So success is when preparation meets opportunity, is the quote that I used in my live yesterday. And I think that is such a good quote. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Yeah, that's the way around. I thought I was going to get it wrong and I didn't. I got it right. But it's true. If you don't actually prepare, this is where a lot of businesses fall down. So this isn't just in the wedding industry. This is just general. If you do not have your ducks in a row before you set out, then it is likely that you are going to hit stumbling blocks that you can't overcome. So definitely preparation is key. Experience, training, and research are my three points that I'm going to mention today. So experience, this is a really, really important one if you are going to work in the wedding industry. Working in the wedding industry is unlike any other industry. There is an awful lot of pressure all around one day. There are things like events and birthdays and anniversaries, things like this that, you know, have a similar pressure, but it's not the same as a wedding day, because, you know, a corporate event doesn't have any, you know, heart behind it, as it were. You know, these are business people, they're doing business things. If something goes wrong, it's annoying, it's frustrating, but, you know, it's dealt with, it's done, it's moved on, and there's another event coming up next year, so we just won't use that vendor next year, that kind of thing. Whereas for birthdays, the hope is that you get a birthday next year. So if something goes wrong, it's, you know, it's not a big deal. And the same with anniversaries. The more significant the anniversary, the more pressure there is. But a wedding day is a one-time event. Now, there are the odd couple that may get divorced and then get remarried. It happens. It may be that they do a renewal, but nothing beats that first time, that one time that you plan. You know, you only plan to ever get married once. So it is always a lot more pressure involved. So having experience in the industry is really, really important. I would never, never suggest that somebody starts a wedding business from never having worked at a wedding and go straight into working solo on somebody's wedding day. That to me is so not cool. And I would say that that kind of goes against all of what the Society of Professional Wedding Vendors stands for. So not something I would recommend. Getting experience working with vendors that are currently working in the industry is a really good way of getting a grounding into how weddings work. Offer this help for free. You are wanting to do some research and, you know, test the waters and see if this is something you want to do. This is not a paid position. You know, remember we all used to do work experience when we were at school, community service, things like that. This is the same thing. This is for you, not for them. And sometimes it's actually more of a hindrance to have help than it is to not have it. So, you know, they are doing you a favor if they accept you to come and help them on a wedding day. So I would suggest actually working across the board and working with a few different vendors in a few different fields. So if you want to be a photographer, you know, go and work with a stylist who goes in and styles, ask to shadow a planner, look at working with a florist, and look at working with a DJ, and just sort of get a feel for the different types of wedding days, because a wedding day is different depending on your perspective. So a wedding day to a florist will be different to a wedding day for a cake maker will be different from a wedding day to a photographer. So try all of the trade that you want to do, but also ask to help out in some other areas so you can get a really good breadth of knowledge about what the wedding industry is really about. Training. Training is a big thing for me. I am huge on education. I think that even if you've got an eye for what it is that you do, having that technical knowledge to ground your craft in is really, really important. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to go out and get a diploma or a degree in something, but making sure that you are constantly upskilling and learning new things and new techniques through sort of workshops, courses, and things like that is a really good idea. Make sure you're checking out the background of the person who is teaching, just because there are lots of people out there that claim to be experts and claim to be teachers, but they don't always have the background that you think they should have for teaching. So just make sure that you are checking out who you are learning from. Ask for some advice, some tips from people who are working in the trade, where they trained. On the Society of Professional Wedding Vendors website, we have some trainings listed on our training tools page, so you can find some training opportunities there as well. Research and find a niche. What do you love to do? What do you think will work well in your area? So, for example, if you live in the middle of London and you want to do barn weddings, probably not the best place to be living, and you would have to accept the travel costs that are involved in that, because that is your choice. So I would look at maybe moving would be the drastic one, but looking more at the area you're living in, what kind of wedding suit that area best? What do you think will work best for you? What do you really enjoy doing? And start to kind of hone in on a style and a feel that you want to work with. So focusing on that, you know, doesn't mean that you're not going to attract a wider audience. It just means that your people will be able to find you more easily. So if somebody wants a naked wedding cake, for example, for their barn wedding, if they go to your website and they see naked cake after naked cake after naked cake, they're going to know they're in the right place. If they go on and they see lots of fondant icing and lots of delicate piping and lace work, they're going to think, maybe not the cake maker for me. But again, those people will go and find who they want to work with. So if you are that person, they're going to come to you. If not, if they land on your website and they're looking for a fondant icing cake, maybe one of those sort of geode cakes that I've seen that are quite cool, and they see your naked cakes and it's naked cake after naked cake after naked cake, and then you've got a smattering of other things that you do throughout, and they want a geode cake, they might fall in love with your work and say, I want her to do my cake. Like, even if it's not something that is predominant on your website, if you can show a style or a feel or expertise that resonates with the client, then even if your speciality, your niche, isn't what they want, they may still come to you and ask to work with you. Now, I think that if it is something that is way out of your wheelhouse, so for example, if you don't do those beautiful piped fondant, beautiful piping and all the drops and things like that, that isn't your expertise, then you should definitely be upfront and say, I'm sorry, but that's not something that I have the skills to do, and let them go to somebody else, and always have people you can recommend them to. Don't oversell yourself, because the last thing you want to do is give yourself a job that is going to give you more pressure than a regular job anyway. And you might not be able to fulfill it to the expectations that somebody else has, or the expert level that somebody else could have done. So don't overstretch yourself there. Your website is a shop window. It is your shop window. So start building that as soon as you are deciding to work in the wedding industry. Before you're actually going to be taking on clients, start building your website. Start to build your basic pages out and start a blog. Now, you can do a blog, you can do a video, you can do podcast. There are a number of different ways that you can create content, but definitely a blog is the simplest form of doing it and the quickest way to get traction with Google, because you can really make sure that your keywords are in there. So you'll be able to do blog posts on the weddings that you are helping out at, and you describe it from your point of view. What did you really enjoy about the day? What stood out for you? You know, what's the backstory? How did you end up working that wedding? Why did you want to work with that particular vendor? What did it teach you? And this is going to start to show people that you are focused and committed to the industry as you are learning. So when people come to your site, once you do open your doors, and there's not a lot of, you know, these are all the weddings that I've made cakes for, there's going to be a lot of information there where they can see that you're actually interested in the wedding industry and you want to work in the wedding industry, along with images that you will have taken of cakes that you have made over time as well. So they'll get that feel for who you are and how you work. So that's going to attract people in. So start working on that, start researching website providers. I highly recommend Ready Steady Websites. They are a couple team who, you know, can get you from DIY. If you want to do it all yourself, they've got complete DIY templates that are plug in and play, nice and easy. Or they can go right up to bespoke, coding it for you and working it all out. So depending on your skill level and depending on where you want to be, they've got something for everybody there. So do check them out. I'll leave their details in the show notes. And then business skills. It is really, really important to get the business side into your head and get to grips with it. So are there things that you're going to want to outsource? What are your contracts going to look like? How much is your insurance going to be? Do you need to trademark anything, business names and such? What is the status with HMRC? What trade associations are you going to look at? So obviously, I would say come and join the Society of Professional Wedding Vendors. We have a starter membership, which is for people that haven't yet worked many weddings, and that will get you on the right path from the off. So do check us out. I'll tell you a bit more about that later. So now the pros of the industry, obviously it is a beautiful, beautiful industry to work in. It is heart-based. It is really a great, great place to work. It's just so full of love. And if you are a mum or a dad working in the industry, it gives you a lot of flexibility. The main part of a wedding is usually at the weekend. We do have a lot more weekday weddings now, but it's usually this one day that you're focused on getting your work done for. Now, if you are doing invitations, if you are doing cakes and things like that that are need to be done prior to the wedding day, then there's this little sort of build up and things that you need to do beforehand. But generally, a lot of vendors work the wedding day, and then there's a little bit of prep beforehand and some post stuff. So depending on what it is that you do. So you have that flexibility to work around your children a lot more than you do with other jobs that perhaps have to be more 9 to 5. Even if you're working from home, they're more 9 to 5. So you're going to be able to drop the kids off at school. You're going to be able to pick them up. You're going to have 6 hours in between where you can crack on with, you know, creating invitations, doing some admin, baking cakes, all of that jazz. They're going to come home. You get to stop your work, spend time with the children. And then when they go to bed, you maybe pick up a couple of hours there if you need to. But I would try and work within the realms of them being at school, if possible. Obviously, when it comes to crunch time, it may be that you have to do some extra hours. But if you are not working a wedding day, so for somebody who does invitations, for example, they aren't usually there on a wedding day. They may drop off banners and table plans and menus and things, but usually that's done beforehand. So you usually have your weekends free. So you're not going to have that issue at all. But it also means that in the summer holidays and in the half terms, you can kind of front load and back load your work so that you've got a bit more flexibility there. So even if you haven't got children, working in the wedding industry can really help you to balance your lifestyle the way you want to. It can give you much more control over the times that you work. You know, you have complete control over your calendar when you are a wedding vendor. If you don't want to work a certain weekend, you don't have to. You just don't book people for that time. So you do have that flexibility. On the con side, if you are a vendor that works on a wedding day, you lose a lot of your Saturdays, if not all of your Saturdays, in the summer season. So if you want to book a holiday, you're going to have to really forward think it and make sure that you book it well in advance so you're not clashing with something, or by the time you sort of get to maybe March, April of that year, think, oh yes, I want to book a summer holiday, and then realize you've already booked all of that time off. You need to kind of forward think that again. It can be very, very long days if you are working a wedding day. So if you're a wedding planner, a coordinator, a photographer, a videographer, those jobs working a venue, they can be very, very long days. So you need to make sure that you are countering that with some downtime. especially if you're an introvert like me. I usually don't do anything with my Sundays. If I'm working a Saturday wedding, I tend to do PJ day on the Sundays and not do anything at all because I just need that time to recover. It can be difficult to get established in the wedding industry because you don't have repeat clientele, or well, we hope you don't have repeat clientele. So I have spoken about this before, I think on the podcast, about how you can get your customers to come back to you and work with you again and again. But as a general rule, people get married once, they go on their merry way, you don't get them coming back to you to get married again. So building that established footprint is a little bit more difficult. So, you know, that's something to realize as well. It is easier to keep a customer than it is to gain a new one, is what they say. However, for our industry, we are constantly trying to gain new ones. So that is the con of the wedding industry there, is that you are constantly trying to find new clients, and that can be difficult. That being said, I actually have a quiz called the Client Attraction Journey Quiz, and that is going to help you discover where you are on your client attraction journey. So even if you are just beginning and thinking about starting your business, this is a really good quiz to do because it's going to get you right where you're at, and it will have a helpful download for you to get you started in the path that you are on and make sure that you are moving forward in it. So you can go and try that quiz out at spwv.co.uk/quiz, and that is your client attraction journey, and that will help you to start making sure that you are constantly bringing in those new client opportunities. So getting started in business isn't an easy choice. It is hard work. And if hard work is not your thing, then running any business is probably not for you. It is very rare that somebody starts a business and is instantly profitable. It just isn't the norm. So a huge 20% of businesses fail in their first year, and around 60% fail in their first 3 years. So that is a statistic that I got from fundsquire.co.uk. And that is why planning is so, so important. 29% of businesses fail because they run out of cash. So this is a really important thing to recognize, that you are not going to be able to, unless you have a huge amount of wealth behind you, stop your day job and start your business. The very nature of weddings is it's something that grows over time. You usually will take a retainer up front, and then the bulk of the money comes in few weeks before the wedding actually happens. So it's usually around 4 weeks before the wedding happens. So therefore, unless you're a wedding invitation person, if you are a stationer, then you're likely to have your money more upfront. But it is usually a retainer, and then the remainder is due just before the wedding for those that work more on the wedding day. And that means that if you were to stop work today and start your business, you would only have retainers for the next 6 to 12 months. And then you would start having the weddings. So you can't live off of retainers. They're usually a very small amount of the total. So it's just not going to be possible. You need to be able to work both alongside each other until the weddings start to kick in and you start to generate that income. So you don't want to be booking in clients and then have your business fail. That would be the ultimate worst case scenario. That is why planning is really, really important. So just make sure that you are looking at your costs, looking at your charges, looking at, you know, or do a business plan. You know, this is something that a lot of people don't do anymore. They just say, I'm going to start a business, and they pack up the day job and start a business, and then everything starts to fall around them, and then they don't know where, which way's up. So if you get a business plan together, work out how many weddings do you need to do a year, work out the charges that you're going to be charging, work out at what stage will you be able to relieve yourself of your day job. And it may be that you really can't stand the job that you're in at the moment, and that's why you want to start a business. I would suggest going and getting another job, even if it's part-time, to bring in that minimum amount that you need to keep ticking over so that you can still live as you are building up your business to take over from that before you end up completely self-employed or limited company, depending on what you want to do. So that is my advice there. It's a lot of sacrificing evenings and weekends and getting your name out there and building that. So when you are doing your experience, then do talk to the vendors about their experience. You know, how did you start? You know, what did you struggle with? What's the one thing you wish you had known when you first started your business? And learn from people, really sort of take in all the information that you can. It's a huge decision to decide to set up a business. So today we have talked about experience, we've talked about training, and we've talked about research. And we also talked about the pros and cons of working in the industry. So I hope that has given you some food for thought. If you have any questions, then please do reach out to me. I am at Donna SPWV on Instagram. You can also reach out in the comments below this post on the website. So do head over there. And I hope you have a great day. Don't forget that we have a quiz available. It's the Client Attraction Journey quiz. It's going to look at whether you are stuck with getting leads, are you stuck with converting leads, and it's going to help you to implement the next stage and give you some ideas of things that you can do to just get yourself unstuck. So you can go ahead and take that quiz at spwv.co.uk/quiz, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now. Don't forget to hit those stars and leave a review of the podcast where you listen if you found value in what you heard today. It's a free way you can help the podcast reach more people just like you.